Hey guys, and welcome to Money, a podcast devoted to all things money, how to get it, how to grow it, and how to keep it. I'm your host, Stacey Johnson, and this podcast is brought to you by MoneyTalksNews.com, serving up the best in personal finance news and advice since 1991. My co-host is money expert Miranda Marquette from MirandaMarquette.com. Hello, Miranda.
Hello, Stacey.
And also with us is producer and sound effects man, Aaron Freeman. Say hi, Aaron.
Hello, how's everybody doing today?
And today we also have a really special guest, one of my favorite people in the world, Lynn Penzo from LynnPenzo.com. Hello, Lynn.
Stacy, how are you, my friend?
I am flawless. How are you?
And I really appreciate the really special salutation there. That's very nice.
Well, you're such a good guy. You really are. I really like you. Okay, anyway, Miranda, what is on our agenda for today?
Well, today, as you mentioned, my old friend Lynn Penzo is here. He's from the Stacking Benjamin podcast, LynnPenzo.com, and he's going to talk about how much you really need to retire comfortably. Lynn and I met in person during a cab ride that lasted more than an hour, and we somehow didn't talk about his awesome retirement roadmap. So now, 10 years later, I'm ready to rectify that oversight, so let's do this thing.
Awesome. I really cannot wait to do this podcast, and I want to hear what Lynn's map to retirement is. But first, we have to do what we always do. We start our discussion by me telling a dad joke, which we're going to do right after this super quick message. All right, we are back. You guys ready for my dad joke for today? I think you're going to like this. I said to my wife, "Your underwear is way too tight and way too revealing." She said, "Well, wear your own then." Okay, why doesn't Santa have to provide health insurance for his workers? Because technically they're elf employed. I had to throw a Christmas joke in there.
Okay.
Okay, so now we told our dad joke. We've got our thing out of the way. Let's get the show on the road. Before we do, though, I want to let you know that I also met Lynn. You can tell from our introduction. I met Lynn, I think, about 10 years ago also. I don't really remember. But a long time ago at FinCon. But anyway, since I know you, Miranda knows you, but since our listeners don't, Lynn, take a minute and tell us a little bit about yourself and your website and what it is you do.
Okay, well, LynnPenzo.com. I think I was one of the first guys back in this website started in 2008, December. I was one of the first guys that actually got out there and used my name. When I was bold enough to get out there and use my name, you know, it's like, I didn't want to hide behind a cloak of anonymity. And I think since then, a lot of people now have taken that. But it's the personal finance blog for responsible people. So basically, that's the focus of my blog is using personal responsibility to use that as your foundation for good personal finances. And that's what I've used my whole life. And I've tried to share everything I've learned in my 57 years here on this planet. So anyways, it's a lighthearted, I kind of do everything with a tongue in cheek and a lot of little humor, although, you know, you do learn things. But that's it.
Cool. And you are a funny guy, which is why we're friends. Although I do have to say, Lynn, the personal responsibility thing didn't really hit me the right way. I'm not really very responsible.
That's okay. But, you know, opposites attract, Stacey.
There you go. Okay, guys. Now, this show is going to be divided into four blocks. Block one, we're going to talk about how much you really need to retire, how to find out what that number is. And block two, we're talking about maximizing your Social Security, using online calculators, things like that. Block three, all about the rules to retiring rich. So how you can retire rich. Maybe you're younger, not at the brink of retirement like I am and like Lynn is. So we're going to give you the rules of retiring rich. And then our final block is going to be about finding help or discussing whether you can really do this yourself. So let's start right away with block one. Let's talk about how much will you need? Probably the biggest question in retirement. And Lynn is about to retire. Is this true, Lynn?
It is true. You know, Stacey, I was going to retire in 2020, okay, last year. I don't know when this is actually airing here, but and of course the market took that downturn in March, and that kind of made me one gun shy, and two, you know, I was like, you know what, I better hold on a little bit longer. So, but now things have come back, and anyways, all things considered, yes, I will be retiring in 2021.
And just to be clear now, you're 57, is that what you said?
I will be 57 in February, yes.
So you're not even 57, and you're going to retire.
That is correct.
So there's no Social Security on your immediate horizon?
No, there is not.
What about pension from work?
Okay, so I am fortunate, and I'm an engineer. And so
you drive trains, right?
Yeah, I drive trains. Not that kind of engineer, Stacey. No, I've been in engineering now for 35 years, and fortunately, engineering companies, the two that I've worked for in my career, both offer pensions. So that is a bit of a help. So I do have, now the one is a small pension because I only worked for that company for 10 years. So it really doesn't do much, buy me maybe a nice dinner every month, but I do have the other pension. Again, I couldn't, just with that pension alone, not enough for me to retire at this age. But you know, I've done diligent savings over the years. And of course I don't spend, I'm not a big spender, never have been. I've been a big saver. So that in combination has allowed me to retire at this age.
That is so, you know, it's really scary to me. And by the way, I'm 65, not about to retire, probably going to retire when I'm 70, but I work at home, you know, and so my, you know, it's not like I'm working really hard. But anyway, my point is I'm way older than you, and I'm wondering if my money's going to last. So how did you figure out how much money you're going to need? I mean, you could easily be in retirement for hopefully more than 30 years, 40 years even.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the first thing I did is I went to the most basic thing is I've gone to these retirement calculators that you can get anywhere on the web. But basically what you need to know is you need to know a few things, right? You need to know what age you want to retire at, or at least take a guess so you can put that into your calculator. You need to know how much savings you currently have. You need to know what your month, this is probably the most important one, and it requires the most thought, is what are your expenses going to be in retirement on a monthly basis? For a lot of people, depending on your age and where you're at, that number is going to be a lot less than what you're spending. Especially if you're in your 30s or 40s with kids and other obligations as well, college to save for, stuff like that. So that number is going to be probably much different than in when you retire than what it is what you're spending now. You're going to need to know what your expected income is. So you've already hinted at something like we've discussed pensions. Do you have any pension money coming in? Do you have Social Security money coming in? And if so, when are you going to take advantage of that Social Security number? The other thing you're going to need to know is your life expectancy. Now, I've just checked today, just to be up to date, what the average life expectancy is for an American here in the United States, and it's 78.7 years old. So as a basic thing, you probably want to say, hey, I know I'm going to live to probably at least 78.7, all things considered, but you probably obviously want to put some padding in there as well. So what age do you expect to live at? For me, for the bare minimum, I'm saying 85. However, I do, you know, when you run your calculations, you probably want to run different ages. You want to, what if you live to 95? What if you're fortunate enough to make it to 100? You've got to play all those games. The other thing you're going to need to know is what is your expected investment return, from today until the day you retire as a bare minimum. What is that retire? What are you going to earn then? And then possibly what are you going to earn after you retire as well? What is that return? So those are the big things that you're going to need to know just to get started.
But they're giant things. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, just your expected investment returns. How the hell do you arrive at that number?
Yeah, well, you've got to make a blanket. What you've got to do is you've got to make some assumptions. Obviously, that's, you're going to get paralyzed if you try and shoot for the right answer right off the bat. So the best way to do that is to run a whole series of numbers. So you run in your calculator and you run a wide range of returns. What am I gonna need if I average a 3% return? What am I going to need if I average a 6% return? What am I going to need if I average a 9% return? And it's in totality, when you get all that data, you can look and it kind of helps you. It helps you figure things out. There's no way, Stacey, that anybody can come up with the right answer. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the future.
Okay. Now I have some idea that you're saying you obviously you compute different returns, and obviously you wouldn't be retiring if you wouldn't be able to make it on the short, you know, smallest return, like the 3% or whatever.
Correct. Yeah.
But now, how about this though? How are you supposed to know how much you're going to spend in retirement? Are you going to spend the exact same amount? You go to work every day. Then you come home, you watch TV, you go to bed, blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, you got all this time in your hands. Now you want to go rock climbing. You want to live in Paris for 3 months. How do you know how much you're going to need?
Well, that's it. You kind of hit at it. You've hinted at it already there, Stacey. So first thing you got to do is you got to say, what am I going to be spending my money on, right? It's like, you know, you don't have, if you don't have kids, you're not going to be driving to work. You're not going to be paying for gasoline for your work anymore. You're not going to be paying for clothes for your work anymore. You're probably going to have a higher travel bill if you're a traveler, but maybe you're not a traveler. Maybe you're the stay-at-home type. That's what my wife, we're the stay-at-home type, so we don't expect to travel very much. However, we do usually take one trip a year, so we've made sure we budget for that. But your spending's going to be generally a lot less. Now, what happens is, as you get older, though, your medical expenses go up. So at some point, you have to say, well, maybe in year 63, 62, assuming I can stay healthy, you know, relatively in the short term, you know, my medical expenses are going to be X. And then starting at age 62 or 63, they're going to go up, you know, I don't know, 10% a year, 20% a year, every year, just because I'm getting older and maintenance is going to pick up on my old aging body. So you have to kind of just sit down. You have to think about all of those things. Some things are going to be less. Some things are going to be more.
Now, is your wife going to retire at the same time?
My wife is she's a stay-at-home mom. So,
okay. So what are you doing for health insurance then? Because that's also going to get hyper expensive as you approach 60 or now even for that matter.
Yeah. I'm sure some of your listeners are going to hate me, but I mean, I've got the advantage again, being in that engineering and working in an engineering industry that, I am blessed to have some benefits. Now, they're not paid for benefits, health benefits. I do have to pay, but it's a lot less than going out and buying, just insurance out on the open market. So I do get that buying power that comes with the company that I'm retiring with. So that helps keep my medical expenses down as well. Like I said, I told you, I'm not retiring. I'm not a wealthy guy. I've had a lot of benefits. And part of that was probably because I chose to be an engineer early on, you know, but that's, you know, it's going to be a lot harder if you don't have those benefits.
Now, here's another thing, too. Okay, like, what about lynnpenzo.com? You're not going to, like, shut down your website. You're still going to work. You're still going to do that.
So we can talk. You know, that's another thing is your income, and I believe I mentioned this, is one of the things you need to know. You need to know, is there any additional income that you are going to make? Just because you retire doesn't mean that, for example, you're not going to have any income at all. So I do have a website. It does earn some income. And that also has helped me. Without that additional income, there would be no way that I could retire at age 57. So I am blessed that I've had this side hustle that has allowed me to supplement and have some income. And that has helped extend things. So I can give you an example. Without that additional side hustle money, for right now is where I stand. My retirement money would run out at age 85. Now, that's assuming Social Security is still sticking around after 85, but my retirement money would run out at 85. With that side hustle, that I will be able to keep my money going until age 104. Okay. So, I mean, just think about that. That side hustle extended my money by 19 years, basically.
You have given this a lot of thought.
I'm an engineer.
I'm a CPA, and I think that I think accountants are wild and crazy versus this guy here. I mean, he has really thought this stuff through. He has sharpened his pencil. I have to apologize to you guys and our listeners. My dog is barking. She's totally blind. I tried to stop her, but there's just no way to do it. So I apologize for her name is Lola. She's the consumer canine. She's barking because she agrees with everything Lynn is saying.
I will say this too. I also ran those side hustle numbers. I ran them to run out at age 85. But and based on that also, I also ran numbers to say, okay, what if I am getting, let's say my blog takes a downturn, people lose interest in it, and I go down, I lose half the revenue that I'm getting, you know, today from it. What would my, you know, how long would my retirement savings? So even that, I know right now it would be, I'd be 92 before my money would run out. So, you know, and again,
it's amazing how much you've thought about this. I mean, not amazing. Obviously, it's totally appropriate, but you've really thought it through. And you know, Lynn, when you're describing it, you sound really confident.
But yes, I am. Well, numbers don't lie. And, you know, I do everything on a spreadsheet. I wish I could show you the spreadsheet I have, Stacy. You know, when I was a young engineer, and I remember sitting with my older colleagues, and they were on the verge of retirement, and they would be telling me for the last year before they retired, you know, I've been running the numbers. And I'd be like, what are you guys, you know, it's like, you guys are obsessed with this stuff. I mean, you know, what's with you guys? But now I totally understand. I mean, I've been doing this now for the last 2 years. I've been running numbers and gaming it out and figuring things out. And, you know, the more you do that, the more confidence you do have that you can retire. It also gives you the confidence that you can't do it, right? So when the market downturned in March here of 2020, that also told me, hey, back up, buddy. You know, don't be so sure. You know, you're not going to make it. So it works both ways.
Yeah, but but I have to assume though, Lynn, that you're obviously, a lot of your savings have to be in the stock market, because, you know, you're certainly not earning anything at the bank. So a lot of this has to be in
Correct.
The stock market. And
Correct.
If the stock market takes a huge downturn next year, that's different than it taking a huge downturn 10 years from now. I mean, there's a lot of variables here is what I'm trying to say. But you still feel very confident that no matter what happens, you're going to be fine.
No matter what happens, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's say in this coming March, if the market dumps 50%, I'm probably going to be on the fence again. Okay. I'm on that hairy edge. I mean, obviously I'm at 57, right? So obviously I'm on the hairy edge at the moment, right? I mean, because there's something called sequence of returns risk. Okay. And that's what I'm at risk of. If the market when the market turns down right when you're retiring, you suffer from something called sequence of returns risk, right? And basically what that's saying is everything you've planned out, you know, is going to be deeply impacted by the loss, because I'm eating into my principal sooner than I expected, right? So I have to watch for that. Now, there's ways to protect against that, right? And one is, you know, you diversify, you have some money in your 401k, you have money in your Roth IRAs, you have retirement money in your taxable brokerage accounts, right? You can also maintain a cash emergency fund. That's another way to blunt it. So, and I'm doing that. And I've, the goal is here, I wanted to have about 2 years of cash savings just saved up to weather any downturn in the market. So let's say the market does take I do retire. And then after I retire, the market takes a downturn. My goal is to have, and I'm not quite there yet, but I should be there very soon, 2 years of cash that I can eat into before I start eating into my investments. So that's another way to blunt those sequence of returns
risk. The bucket approach. We've discussed that on the podcast before.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's the other big, and then the other thing you can do is in your retirement accounts, you can plan for payouts in, you know, hey, don't have everything in your investments that you're expecting to pay out within the next 5 years, for example, right? And get those big returns. You want to have investments that are going to, that you expect to pay out within, say, the next 5 to 10 years. And then you want another bucket of investments that you don't maybe think are going to pay out for another 10 years, maybe, or 15 years down the road. So that's another way you can kind of blunt that that return risk issue.
Cool. Okay, now we're gonna take a quick break here. I know we've only gone through the first block and probably not even as well through it as much as we should have, but we're going to have to take a break here. We're going to go through the other stuff we were going to talk about. Hopefully it won't take as long, because this is a fascinating topic, but we only have limited time. But anyway, quick break. Coming back will be a dad joke. We'll be right back after this. All right, we are back, and I get to tell another dad joke. I'll only tell one this time. Let's say, here we go. At the age of 65, my grandmother started walking 5 miles a day. She's 92 now, and we have no idea where she is.
This is actually probably my favorite one that you've done.
Really?
Yeah, oddly enough, I like that one. That's
what
fun.
What about the tweets and the oinks? Oinks and appointments.
No, okay. I think this one.
Stacey, I think you've found your new side hustle.
You know, I swear, Len, all I really want to do is have a podcast with me telling dad jokes and fake laughter. That's it. I don't really care about this money stuff. Anyway, that's not true. I do care about this money stuff. Now I want to ask you something. This discussion is going to be about a little bit about maximizing Social Security, which is not something you're concerned about yet, I guess. But also online calculators. I wrote an article, Len, a long time ago, 8 years ago maybe, saying online calculators were just BS. And I'll tell you why. And not just retirement ones, but all kinds of other ones too. Like rent or buy houses, you know, like that. Yeah. Because it's asking you to know the unknowable. I mean, it's saying, like, how much your property tax is going to go up on average per year for the next 5 years? How much your house is going to appreciate? How much, you know, or in this case, how much is the stock market going to appreciate? I mean, these are things that are unknowable. If you know the answers to these, you should be giving them on CNBC. I mean, you know, they're just impossible to know. And when you're looking at something over very long periods of time, as you are, the little differences are magnified monstrously. So how about that? When people use calculators, I think they may be a little overconfident in the results they get. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, you know, the thing you've got to do is you can't just put the number in one time and say, oh, that's the answer. You can't put in one set of variables and say that's the answer, because there's infinite possibilities, almost infinite. I mean, within reason, okay? But there's a spectrum of possibilities for everything. That includes the investment returns you're going to earn over time, what years you are going to retire. I know it's one thing when you're in your 30s or 40s to say, hey, I'm going to retire at age, you know, my goal is to retire at age 55, you know, but life throws a lot of curveballs along the way, so you never know. So you've got to run retirement ages from 55 to 70. And with different variables, your income could change. All the numbers have to change. You cannot just put one set of numbers into any calculator and be confident that that's what's going to happen. Because, as you say, Stacey, there's just so much you don't know.
And you know, getting also what you here's something that I could not have seen coming. I've been doing this 30 years. Okay, so I'm saying to people, take your age from 100. You know, and invest that percentage in stocks. You know, if you're 60 years old, you invest 40% in stocks. You guys all know the formula. And all of a sudden, it just occurred to me about a year ago, that doesn't work anymore. I mean,
because they're saying 120 now.
Well, yeah. And they actually had that then, because that's, you know, more aggressive formula. But the bottom line is this. My parents retired. T-bills were paying 8%. And now, you're putting half of your money, if you're 57 years old, you're putting what, 43% of it in bonds, supposedly, yeah, for this formula. And those, you're putting 43% of your money in something that pays 0.8% in a 10-year bond. I mean, it doesn't pay anything at all. And that's a big roadblock that you could not have seen coming. So what? Yeah. So I want to ask everybody here today, what do you guys think about this? How are you supposed to advise people to invest for retirement? You can't tell them to put all their money into stocks because stocks are too risky. But fixed income and banks or whatever, they'll pay anything. So what's the solution to this? What's the new formula? Crickets.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, though, you talked about earlier how, you know, you've got this kind of idea that calculators are kind of BS. I think the issue is not so much like, do you find one formula that's going to work? It goes back to what Len was talking about. You've got to try different variables. You have to plug different things in. And I continue to really like the idea of a bucket strategy as you're doing this. Even though I'm not planning to retire for a long time, I don't know what retirement looks like for me when I actually really enjoy my life and can't, you know, envision changing things up, because I'm fortunate enough to be doing work that I love and can probably do it for the foreseeable future. But I think it goes back to, like, really thinking about those priorities, really thinking about the values, and then also what Len was talking about, really taking stock of where you are and running different scenarios and kind of planning for the worst. So there's no one answer and there's no one formula. I mean, you've just proved there's no one formula. Like, we can't look here and say, oh, there's one answer and there's the magic bullet. It's a process. It's a journey. And you have to keep tweaking as you go.
I think that's a really, really good answer. And also, you know, there are other things in the world besides stocks and bonds, too. I was just thinking of Aaron because he's a big real estate guy. So, you know, you could get income that way, too. You know, there are different things you can do.
Right, Aaron?
Yeah, there's a downfall of that. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. My father has actually kind of fallen ill, and he's only 74. And then his father lasted till 85, and he was strong in his 70s. And putting the story together, I was thinking, wow, okay, so that kind of like, if these are my genes, this kind of gives me an average of my expectancy if I don't take care of myself. And then I read an article like you were talking about T-bills and stuff like that. And like, I'm going to ask you guys, was that back then, was that more reliable? Could everybody just buy into that and go, oh, now I have a secure retirement and now we're being forced into these stocks where they're more risky? And so now we're like, well, I don't know if it's going to be there or not. And then Social Security is probably going to, like, who knows, get pushed further down in the age, you know, when you can take it out and then maybe even pay out less as it keeps going. So there's all these things down the line in my future. They're like, oh, man. So we've been dumping our money into real estate. But then I'm thinking, well, if my dad's already, you know, falling apart at 74, how much longer can I maintain buildings? How much longer can I deal with people? How much longer can I, you know, get up on a ladder and fix a ceiling plaster or something like that? You know,
yeah, so that's a good point.
There's a lot to think about, and all these things add up, and it's hard to calculate the future with all of that.
It is difficult, but as you pointed out, Miranda, you've got to be able to be fast on your feet, you know, just, and you got to adapt. But we're in especially trying times.
Right. Yeah, not necessarily super fast on your feet, but if you have kind of a strategy and approach in place that gives you something to kind of go off of and something to also keep you grounded, because, you know, sometimes you don't want to be fast on your feet. Sometimes you don't want to respond to the whims of the market. Maybe you want to take a step back and say, okay, where am I at? And how is reacting to this going to impact my plans?
Yeah, and that was a poor choice of words on my part. I guess what I meant to say was, as Lynn implied also, to be flexible, to understand that the world not only can change, but will change, and you've got to be ready to change with it.
Oh, for sure.
But, I mean, this is a ridiculously bizarre scenario. I mean, I remember when I was 30, and I was trying to buy my first – no, I bought my first house when I was 21, but whatever. Interest rates on savings accounts were 20%. And my dad would say, like, well, you know, back in my day, son, interest rates were 5% on mortgages. And I was like, well, that, yeah, you drove a Model T. I mean, you know, things are completely different now. And I'll be damned if we're not sitting here with mortgage rates at 2.5. I mean, it's just insane what's going on, and savings rates at 0. And I don't know how you're supposed to retire with any level of safety living off your savings when you can't buy bonds.
Well, I'm gonna expose myself a little bit here. So,
good thing this is just audio.
Yes, that is. Right. I am one of those guys who I am a big believer in precious metals as well. So, and for me, I know your concerns with bonds. I have the same concerns with bonds. Bonds are, you know, the rates right now that the 10-year note is trading for. I mean, the interest rates are so low, there's not much more room for them to go. As the interest rates drop, the price goes up. So you're buying at a very high price already, if you really want to think about it. So what is the alternative, you ask? Well, to me, one of the best alternatives to bonds is precious metals. And I'm not saying, you know, not get rid of, you know, have no bonds, but what I am saying is at least consider precious metals, because precious metals are money. And that's one thing, you know, that when you're buying, if you're buying the real physical precious metal, it will never go to zero. Okay. It is protection, and it is a fair alternative to bonds. So that is an alternative. And I know it's not in the mainstream, but it is out there.
Well, you're saying precious metals are an alternative. It's a safe haven, you're saying.
It's a safe haven, yes,
correct. It's not paying you income. It's not giving you a dividend.
Well, it is paying you income if the, if real interest rates, as they are today, are actually negative. The real interest rate is the difference between the inflation rate, the actual inflation rate, and the rate, the payoff of those bonds, what they're paying out. And that number is negative right now. And as long if real interest rates are negative, then I agree, yes, gold pays no interest or dividends, but zero is more than a negative number.
Well, that's
so,
true.
See what I'm saying? So there.
I do. I do.
So, what, so what instead of Chinese... losing to inflation, you're treading water. That's still better than losing to inflation.
But what if the Chinese capture an asteroid filled with gold and start mining it, and your gold just drops?
Yeah, but do you know? Well, okay. Do you know how much money it costs to launch a payload into space? Okay. It's like $10,000. Okay. It's like $10,000.
Okay, now we're seriously going
okay,
off the rails.
Okay, so let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. But no, but I think Lynn makes a good point that like you can diversify a little bit. You can look for other ways to kind of shore that up a little bit. And I think the main point here is don't put all of your eggs in one basket, right?
You're so good at bringing everyone back to reality, Miranda.
Let's move on to some reality here.
It's like having a mom on the podcast.
A mom that's younger than all of you.
Oh, by the way, and after this, I swear we'll move on. But Lynn, what do you think about Bitcoin? Or Aaron, what do you guys think about Bitcoin?
I think that Bitcoin is pure speculation. So, hey, and there's nothing wrong with speculating. I speculate in certain investments as well, but don't. It is not as it is not the equivalent to something like precious metals. My main reasoning behind that is because it is priced in dollars, and if something happened to the dollar and the dollar value went to zero, what does that make a Bitcoin worth? Well, you'll say it's worth infinity dollars, but infinity is not a real, it's abstract. And so therefore, to me, that reveals that Bitcoin is really, it's not a true store of value that it claims to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I have Bitcoin, not a large portion of another crypto, but crypto is not a big portion of my portfolio. I don't expect it to get me through retirement. I look at it as more of a potential gravy. So when you're looking at that stuff, I mean, you do want to be clear on, okay, what is the purpose of this asset in my portfolio? How is it helping me reach my goals? What do I expect it to actually accomplish for me?
Okay, cool. I have a little Bitcoin also. And I'm wondering, you know what's funny is I was riding my bike maybe, I don't know, 6 months ago, and I was listening to this guy, I was listening to a podcast, and this guy's like, you know what, Bitcoin's going to be $20,000 before the end of the year. And it was like $8,000. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to buy some Bitcoin when I get home. Because that guy sounded logical. It sounded like he knew what he was talking about. And I got home, I didn't buy any Bitcoin. And I'll be damned if today, which is December 16th, Bitcoin went to $20,000.
Did it? It finally crossed. So that's its new all-time high.
New all-time high. Yep.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of selling some of mine. I didn't sell any of it in 2017, the last time it went pretty high. And so I'm thinking about it, but we'll see. We'll see how I feel.
I think Bitcoin for our generation and maybe some millennials is a little odd, but I don't think I can predict what Generation Z and below are going to do. I mean, these guys are going to be used to working at home, living at home, working on computers, working in virtuality. And, you know, how many things, you know, could any of us predicted iPhones when we were young? I mean, next generations have a way of changing things.
Here's an interesting bit of trivia on Bitcoin. You know what the first Bitcoin was spent on?
What?
A pizza. Now, do you think... And I can't remember what he's paid. I think he paid one Bitcoin. But I mean, if that's true, that's the most expensive delivery pizza ever. You know, at $20,000
yes,
now.
Yes, isn't that true?
That poor guy is just hating life.
Yep.
Well, you know how I got my first Bitcoin was I was writing an article about this newfangled situation with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. I was writing an article about it, so I decided to accept payment for this article in a Bitcoin. And that's been very nice for me.
Was it one Bitcoin?
One Bitcoin.
Awesome.
Oh, that's
you still
awesome.
Have it.
That's fantastic. So
that
is
more than I pay you
anyways.
For articles. Yeah, there you go. Okay, we need to move on. This is not a, we could do a podcast on Bitcoin, except it sounds like none of us are really expert at it, but it's certainly fascinating. You have to give it that. Now, let's go real quick. We're going to move into block three, which is the rules of retiring rich. And all we did here, Penn, or Lynn, was we took a list of things that, you know, from an article. But these are things, if you're younger, if you're 30, or even if you're 40, if you want to retire rich, I can tell you exactly how to do it. And so do you want to go over these, Miranda?
Yeah,
Len can't see them. So
yeah, let's just hit them up hard. Oh dear, that didn't sound good, did it? Okay.
Well, you know what we could do is we can ask Len if he would agree or disagree with these 10 things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, number one is pretty basic: spend less than you earn.
I do that. Absolutely. One. I do that one.
I bet you Lynn's always done that one. I have too.
Yep.
I mean, I would say 95% of my life. Not, I mean, you can't say 100% because we've all had our backs against the wall at one point or another. So I'm sure there have been times when I spent more than I earned. But generally speaking, I spent less than I earned, when I didn't earn very much.
Would you guys think this is the number one thing that gets people into debt and into problems of not saving for retirement?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have something called my 10 commandments of personal finance, and that is number one on my list. It all starts from that point right there. Spend less than you earn.
Oh, that's good, Lynn. So you have the same sort of a list on your site that we have on ours.
Oh, wait a minute. You do too?
we actually plagiarized yours.
Let me see here. Let me think about this for a second. Let me think about this for a minute. Personal finance writers use lists.
I can't believe it.
On their websites. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Okay, anyway, number two on the list is to start saving early. That's
and
number
obviously
two.
Lynn did that. Did you, Lynn? Did you start when you were like 18 or some ridiculous number like that?
You know what? I did not, actually. And you know what? My dad told me, God rest his soul, he told me when I was 16, you need to start saving for retirement. And I had a good job working as a grocery store checker back at 16. I mean, that's when grocery store checkers were making $12, $14 an hour back in the early 80s, right? And I didn't save a penny of it. I'm sorry to say. I really didn't. And, you know, I probably could have retired a couple years early.
At what age did you get serious?
When I took my first job, that's when.
You mean your first career job?
My first career job, yes, after college.
Yeah, I started saving. As a matter of fact, if this may sound like I'm making it up, but I used to cut grass when I was 10 years old. Borrowed my parents' lawnmower, went around the neighbors, that sort of thing. As soon as I got money, my mother she took me to the bank and made me open a passbook savings account. So I started saving when I was 10. I'm sure there were times when I wasn't saving, though, because there were times when I was barely eating. But
I started spending early.
And you're still doing it today. Okay, what's next?
So make up for lost time, catch up provision. So this is a good one, I think, because it helps you remember that if you're age 50 or above, you can make extra contributions to your tax advantaged retirement accounts. So if you have been a little bit late starting, if you didn't start saving early, this is a good one to use because now you can catch up a little bit. You can make up a little bit for lost time. It will never completely make up for time in the market. You can never totally get that back, but this can help.
Yeah. And I put aside a lot for retirement, and I certainly use the catch-up provisions. Do you guys have I have a solo 401k, and everyone and all of our members here are all self-employed. So do you guys have solo 401ks?
I have a SEP IRA, which is nice. I can put up to $57,000 in it this year. So
and I said we're all self-employed. We're actually not. Lynn, you're not self-employed yet.
Right. But yeah, I do. I have the SEP IRA, which I really like.
Cool. I'm able to put aside like 50 grand every year. Yeah. My wife,
I don't max out my SEP IRA, but I do
I
have
max
one.
Mine out.
Yeah.
I have my wife, she has to put in $19,500 in her 401k. And she doesn't make as much money as I do. You know, she's like, really? Do I have to? And I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, but you do. And she's like, it's really cutting my paycheck down a lot. I'm like, oh, well, you know, sorry. That's what happens. Okay, anyway, next on the list.
So next on the list is don't leave free money on the table. And that goes back to taking care of that employer match. If you've got an employer match, take it.
Yeah, that's amazing. People don't. Do you have, I assume you have a match, Lynn?
Yes, I do have a match. It's what is it? It's 6%.
Yeah, that's pretty common. And it's amazing that people won't take advantage of that. Or they don't even understand it, you know?
Is that going to continue? You think our employers going to eventually get rid of that too?
Well, it depends on the employer. I mean, you know, if you're making money, my wife's employer cut hers out when times were tough. And now that times aren't as tough, they reinstated it. But it could go away or come back depending on how successful the business is or how nice they are.
So if you have it, take it. Or not, well, you
absolutely.
It.
If somebody offers you money, if someone comes up on the comes up to you on the street and says, here, take some money, take it. What's next, Miranda?
Yeah, so next we've got minimize your taxes. So let's pay attention to that tax bill.
Yes, that's easy enough.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons you're contributing to your retirement plan in the first place, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you reduce your taxes and then also make sure you're looking at, okay, what are some of my other options here? We know that Miranda just talks about the HSA all the damn day, but that's my favorite. But one of the best ways, if you want to minimize your taxes and take advantage of some of that true tax-free growth and also save up for those medical expenses we talked about earlier in the show, the health savings account, if you qualify and you meet the criteria, great tool. One of my favorite things.
Cool. And what's next?
We got take a little risk.
Yeah,
we talked about
go.
That a little bit, right? The safe stuff just doesn't pay anymore.
Yep, you have to. And also, that this is why I put everything I have into Bitcoin. I just had to take some risk.
All of it. That's more than a little risk. I believe this says little. Let's talk about calculated risks.
But you know, we're going to have to hurry through this list. But what a lot of people think that taking risk in the stock market is ridiculously bad. But not taking any risk is taking even more risk because you're going to lose to inflation. So let's keep going.
Okay. Yeah. Number one. Number whatever. Stay informed about your investments. So keep an eye on stuff.
Yes. And do you agree with this that if nobody cares about your money as much as you do. Nobody.
Right. Yeah. So my last podcast, that was our tagline. Nobody cares about as much. Nobody cares about your money like you do. So invest in your life. That's the tagline for the last podcast I was on.
Right. But you don't want to stare at the stock market every day because
right.
then you're going to start looking at stupid numbers, which is long term, right?
Yes. Right. Yes. But you're ultimately, you know, it's like I take my taxes, even though I'm a CPA, I take my taxes to an accountant because that's what he does all day, every day. And I want to make sure that if I do get audited, I'm going to have somebody in my corner that knows more than I know. But you know who signs that tax return? Me. I'm responsible for it. And it's the same thing with your investments. You can pay somebody else to give you advice. But at the end of the day, if all that money gets lost, you're the one who's going to be poor, not that stockbroker. So always know enough. You know, maybe when you go to the doctor, you can't understand what's going on, but this is not rocket science. You should always take responsibility for your own money, even if you pay somebody for help.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Okay, what else?
Next is break free from the herd. So yeah, that's Warren Buffett, right? Warren Buffett
yep.
talks
uh-huh.
about being greedy when people are fearful and being fearful when people are greedy. So kind of try and be as contrarian as possible. And you know, Len's done that in the past.
How about it, Len? Have you? What's your story?
Where I've been contrarian?
Yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't say completely contrarian, but you've done things that are a little bit outside of like the mainstream of the PF advice that we see.
Well, yeah, one is the precious metals, which is what I've done a lot with. And that I've been in and precious metals mining stocks as well, which have been battered, absolutely battered the last 6 or 7 years. And I've been buying into that. Right now, they are at the lowest all time relative to historically to, for example, the S&P 500. So, I mean, they are badly beaten down. And so, and I've been buying them. So I have yet to get my return, but yeah, that's what I've been doing. Cause you buy, you're supposed to, I mean, they say it sounds easy, buy low and sell high, but it takes courage to do that. So
It's true. And I actually just bought some gold too. Although, you know, there are a lot of people who wear tinfoil hats that talk about gold, you know, so.
That's true. I'm used to being called, you know, I'm used to being called that way. So that's why, and that's one thing too, if you come to my blog, especially on Saturdays, I talk about all this tinfoil hat stuff. So
well,
come on by.
I just bought, what's the stock that's the symbol, whose symbol is gold?
Well, are you talking about like a gold ETF?
No, it's a stock. I think it's American Barrick, maybe. I can't remember now. But it's simple.
Oh, Barrick. I think Barrick G-O-L-D. Is GLD. Yeah,
anyway,
GLD.
I bought some of that not that long ago. And
oh, that's
I'm
good,
down on
it pays
it
a dividend. I believe that pays it. That's a dividend stock,
about 2%.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Yes. So GLD is actually the ticker for the Spider Gold Trust.
Yes, I have that too. But I said G-O-L-D.
That's G-O-L-D. Sorry, I didn't catch that. My bad.
Yes, I do have the Gold Trust as well. Yep. Okay. Anyway, we're almost done. What else do we have?
Oh my gosh, we're going to make it through this list. Work longer, and I'm going to go ahead and combine the last two. Work longer and maximize your income potential. So if you are not sure you can retire, do what Len did. He said, I'm going to put it off for a year. Maximize your income potential. Look for ways to bring in extra money so that you have that coming in. So that's going to help you out if you can take a step back, look at your situation, and maybe reevaluate.
Cool. And so here we go. For those of you who weren't counting down or writing this down, if you want to be rich when you retire, all you have to do is spend less than you earn, start as soon as you can, make up for lost time, don't leave your money on the table, minimize your taxes, take a little risk, stay informed about your investments, break through the herd, work longer, and maximize your income potential. And that's all you have to do.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Now it's that simple.
How do we get help for all of this?
our final topic today is getting help. I obviously manage my own investments. I have, however, had somebody, because I was offered a free financial plan, I had somebody go over it just to see what they thought. And also just because I wanted for them to say how rich I was, because you know, I really like hearing about that. what do you guys think? And I know you younger guys, Aaron and Miranda, you know, you're a long way from that. But let's say you've got a sizable nest egg. You're about to retire. Do you think you need to hire help?
I mean, I think it's one of those things that you definitely want to think about. I, for the most part, manage my own stuff with the help of a robo-advisor in some cases. But, you know, I've recently been looking at my growing net worth, the growing complications of my financial situation, the various businesses that I have and business partners that I have. And I'm actually, you know, thinking about, okay, at what point do I need to have somebody look at my stuff and help me work things out? I mean, I already have an accountant who manages the tax situation for me and helps me, you know, minimize my taxes. But yeah, I mean, I think it's always helpful to have that outside view from people who can kind of take a critical look at things and give you a little advice.
Cool. And now, Len, are you paying someone?
No, I'm doing it myself. I do all my own research, but I put a lot of time and effort, and I would recommend anybody who isn't willing to do that, you should have some help. Have a certified financial planner or a CPA or somebody manage your finances, because it is a lot of work if you really want to do your retirement justice.
And if you are looking for help, what you want to do is going to a CPA, if you go to one, if you have an accountant, asking them for referrals, good, asking friends for a referral. But remember, don't ever, 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 ever pay a commission. Don't pay commission people. I used to be one. And was I trustworthy? Yes, I was, but not all are. Find somebody that charges you by the hour, has lots of experience, and hopefully one that's been recommended. Be careful. Talk to several, because there are a lot of bad eggs out there. Believe me, I've met lots of them. So be very careful. Len, last words for us.
Well, one, it's been fun, Stacy. It's been a blast. But on retirement, I think you've got to lay the foundation for a good retirement early on when you're young. That gives you the best thing about being young is there's a lot of time to correct for any mistakes, and you have time to make up for any downturns in the market. Don't be afraid to take risks when you're young, because you won't regret it when you're older. The longer you wait, the harder it is.
That's great, great advice. And we really appreciate you being here, Len. Oh, and one thing we didn't cover that I'll just mention in passing is that if you find yourself getting a little longer in the tooth, not too old, but you know, maybe in your 30s, and you're finding you're not making your you're not putting aside enough to retire, it's not too late to try to marry some money. And so, you know, this is a way a lot of people have gotten rich.
Wait. So you're saying if your significant other is not pulling her weight, just like, all right.
Well, exactly. This is why we have divorces, Aaron. Sonia, that's his wife's name, doesn't listen to these podcasts, does she?
No, she pulls her weight, so I'm good.
Okay, good.
I'm good.
I call my wife my little 401k because she's 23 years younger than me and she makes a good living. And so, awesome. See what I've done? See, this is my stopgap. And I'm telling you this because she does not listen to these podcasts. So she'll never know. Okay, we are now done. We're out of time. I'm afraid we are. We didn't get to our reader questions today. We'll do twice as many next time. We probably won't. But anyway, we're sorry we didn't do that. We'll do it next time if we can. We are out of time, but we're certainly not out of this topic. We could talk about it forever. And for those of you listening, dig a little deeper. You'll find links to lots more info in our show notes. And remember, if your goal is to make more, to spend less, to retire rich, your online home is MoneyTalksNews.com. And don't forget to check out Miranda's online home as well. That's Miranda Marquit, MARQUIT.com. And of course, the perfect, the flawless Len Penzo at his site, LenPenzo.com. Not only smart, folks, good looking too. Okay, you got a question, comment, or topic you'd like to suggest, tell us about it. Email us at hello@moneytalksnews.com. That's hello@moneytalksnews.com. And one last thing, if you appreciate what we do, do something for me. Subscribe to this podcast. Takes you 2 seconds, but it really helps us. So if you like us, show us by subscribing. I'm Stacy Johnson.
And I'm Miranda Marquit.
I'm Aaron Freeman.
And there's Len Penzo. I should have told you that was coming. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. And we're going to see you all right here next time.